Proverbs just for a moment. I'm going to, the Lord willing, I want to begin a study, and I'm not going to do a verse by verse through the book of Proverbs, but I do want to kind of do an overview and just preach to you some things that God's laid on my heart. Right after Sharon and I got saved, we had a man who was a major in the Air Force, was our Sunday school teacher, and I'll never forget, and it stuck with me all of these years. We do it even to this day. Sharon and I, every morning, we sit down and read a proverb, and we'll talk about it some, and I'll give her a hard time. I'll say, now, what's that mean? Proverbs chapter 1. Now, we're not at home, so you can't be. And it's wonderful. I love reading the Bible, and I love reading it with my wife, and it's just a good time. I enjoy it, and if you don't do it, I would encourage you to do it. That major told us, we were brand new Christians, and he taught us every morning read a proverb and let it coincide with the day of the month, and then, you know, whatever months don't have 31 days, just finish out the book on the final day of the month. And we've tried to be true to that all of these years, and we hope that it's imparted a little bit of wisdom to us. You know, the book of Job and Psalms and Proverbs and Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, these are what's called experiential books, not experimental, but experiential, things that the people experience and in their lives and life's experiences. And I do believe that that's what the book of Proverbs is. We know it's a book of wisdom. But I think what's happening here is in Proverbs chapter 1, if you'll just look at verse number 1, it says, the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. And so here's a man that is reflecting, but I think also he's passing on. He's reflecting as to what his father taught him, but he's passing on to his children, but, you know, even to God's children, what our father would want us to know about these matters of wisdom. And so I want to talk to you just, you know, we're going to do some teaching. Now, you never know, God stir my heart and we might do some preaching too. But, you know, wisdom is just so important, isn't it? I want to start out, and I'm just going to ask you to turn to some scripture, then we'll settle down in chapter 1 just for a moment. Now, again, I want you to remember, I'm not doing an expository. We're not just going to go verse by verse. But I do want to stay in sections as God leads me, and I want to talk about subject material in that section. Tonight, the Lord willing, for about 35 minutes, we'll talk about wisdom a little bit. Wisdom, the importance of biblical wisdom. Now, when I say wisdom, I want to make this very clear. I'm not talking about knowledge. Okay, I'm not speaking about knowledge. Now, knowledge is important. Knowledge is important. But wisdom is not knowledge. They're not the same. Wisdom is not common sense. Some people has tried to, through the years, say, well, you know, wisdom and common sense, they're the same. No, they're not. Wisdom, really, if you think about it, wisdom is uncommon sense, because common sense kind of goes along with what God, with what man wants to do, but uncommon sense is the wisdom of God. You know, it's not common. It's supernatural. It's not natural. It's not man's wisdom. There is an earthly, James spoke about, an earthly wisdom. And so I'm not talking about that. A worldly wisdom, if you will. I'm talking about a biblical, godly wisdom. And I want to see what the Bible says about it. I want to see, well, how it benefits us and how we can attain it. If you look in Proverbs 8, in verse number 11, and this will whet your appetite a little bit, I hope. Now, tonight, we're just going to kind of lay some groundwork. Proverbs 11, look at Proverbs 8, I'm sorry, verse number 11. Proverbs 8, verse number 11. I'm just going to read for sake of time tonight. As we expand our study, we'll read more of the Proverbs about wisdom and the advantages and what is to gain by getting wisdom. Proverbs 8, verse number 11. For wisdom is better than rubies. Now, think about that for a moment. If someone told you, hey, I know where you can get all the rubies you want, you don't have to tell me, I'm not going to ask you, would you want to know more about that? I don't have to ask you, because if you told me no, then I will lose confidence in you. So if someone told you, I know where you get all the wisdoms that you desire, and yet the Bible says that we can have all the wisdom that we desire. It's there for our asking. It's there for our asking. Notice what else he said in verse number 11. He said, and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it. What a statement. All the things that are to be compared. You know, if that's the only verse of scripture that I had, I would seek wisdom. I want this. I want this. Turn, if you would, to Proverbs 16, I believe it is. Proverbs 16. And as I said, I'm just going to give a couple. And then I want to go back to what I believe prompted or why Solomon was capable. Of course, he was under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, but why he was capable of writing these Proverbs. Proverbs 16. Most people, when they turn to Proverbs 16, you know, they like to go to verse 18, pride goeth before destruction. And that is a very important verse of scripture. But I want to back up to verse number 16. Verse number 16. And let's look at a positive here. How much better, Proverbs 16:16, how much better is it to get wisdom than gold? Again, you either believe that or you don't. I do. And so, you know, here's the Bible saying, look, if I could tell you where you could get something that's better than gold, are you interested? I just believe everyone would say, yes. Tell me more. How much better, Proverbs 16:16, is it to get wisdom than gold, and to get understanding rather than be chosen than silver? With exclamation. I mean, it's imperative. He's saying this is just something you need to look into. And so when we go back, and I'm going to ask you to hold your place here in Proverbs 1, and just for a moment before we settle into Proverbs 1, I want you to go to 2 Chronicles chapter 1. 2 Chronicles chapter 1. You know the story, so I'm not going to get into it in detail. I was not brought up in church, but if you were, you heard this as a child. The children learned this, and they should. So here's the story of the account, the biblical account of Solomon in verse number 7 of 2 Chronicles chapter 1. God came to Solomon one night, and he said, look, and I'm paraphrasing, but you can read there in verse, well, let's just read verse 7. And that night did God appear unto Solomon and said unto him, ask what I shall give thee. Now I want you to look right up here just at me just for a moment. So you're Solomon. And God comes to you, and he asks you tonight, name it, what you want, what you going to go with, health, prosperity, pleasure, adventure, what you going to go with? Now, we would all, because we know the story, say, well, I think I'm going to go with wisdom. We know the story, right? Yeah, I think I'd choose wisdom. Well, I hope some would. I do. I would hope that all of us would, but, you know, it's just not good to play mind games. But here is a man. If you look at verse number 8, Solomon said unto God, thou hast showed great mercy unto David my father, and hast made me to reign in his stead. Now, O Lord God, let thy promise unto David my father be established. For thou hast made me king over a people like the dust of the earth in multitude. Give me now wisdom and knowledge, that I may go out and come in before this people. For who can judge this thy people that is so great? What a great request. God, give me wisdom. Give me discernment. I want to do right by you, and I want to do right by your people. And I just can't help believe that everyone in here wants this. We want this. I guess the thing that impresses me is that Solomon wanted it more than anything else. You know? I mean, I look around, and I mean this when I say it, I think probably in every person's heart, you say, you know, really, there's a place, there's a part of me, I want that too. I want it, but I just wonder if it's a priority. If it's the great part of you. If it's the greater part of me that wants what Solomon wanted. And so he asked for it, and the scripture says in verse number 11, and God said to Solomon, because this was in thine heart, and thou hast not asked riches, wealth, or honor, nor the life of thine enemies. Now, I believe there would have been more things, but now certainly here is something that, some things that God knew that man values, because he said, look, you could have asked these things, but you didn't. Because man does value these things. Man desires and measure these things. He said, neither yet, in verse number 11, hast thou asked long life, but hast asked wisdom and knowledge for thyself, that thou mayest judge my people over whom I have made thee king. Wisdom and knowledge is granted unto thee. I will give thee riches and wealth and honor, such as none of the kings have had that have been before thee, neither shall there any after thee have the like. And so you know this account in the scripture, and you know. Now listen, did Solomon, did he do right? Well, sometimes. Did he do wrong? Sometimes. Did he make poor choices? Sometimes. Did he make good choices? Sometimes. Because he was human just like you, just like me. And it's amazing how a lot of people, they look at all the wrong that Solomon did, but you know, Solomon done some good things too. As a matter of fact, God wanted him to build the temple. Amen. David wanted to build it, right? But God said, no. That's going to Solomon. And so as we go back to Proverbs, I just want to give you some really elementary introductory thoughts about wisdom. What is wisdom? Why do I need it? What's important about it? What's so important about wisdom that God himself would say it's better than rubies? Yeah. Of all the things you could desire, there's nothing greater you could desire above wisdom. That's what God said, not me. God said that. It's better than gold. Listen, with all you're getting, you need to get it. Well, let's see just a few things that the scripture lays out. Look, if you would, in verse number, chapter 1, we're in Proverbs 1, and here's the Proverbs of Solomon, and he says in verse number 2, the very first thing he says, listen, I'm going to give you some Proverbs, and he introduces himself. He said, to know wisdom. That's the very first thing he said. You know, man, Solomon knew. He knew. This is at the top of the list, right here. And so when he started writing, God used his experience and God used him and said, pin this down. Solomon said, if I could give you one word of advice, know wisdom. To know wisdom and instruction to precede the words of understanding. Now, what is wisdom? As I said, wisdom is not knowledge. Wisdom is the ability to appropriate or apply or to properly use the knowledge that God has given. And so someone says this, wisdom, godly wisdom, is the capacity to assimilate and appropriate learning prudently. Wisdom, and I like this, wisdom is seeing life from God's point of view. Now think about that for a moment. Wisdom is seeing life from God's point of view. It's seeing things the way God sees them. Because God gives wisdom. As a matter of fact, God is wisdom. And because God is wisdom, Jesus, the scripture teaches, for us is wisdom. And we'll see that in just a moment. So the scripture teaches that wisdom is important. Here's some things that it does. In verse number 2, I wrote these down. In verse number 2, it gives self-discipline to know wisdom and instruction. You have to discipline yourself. You know, so often people do not want to read or follow instructions. Every parent in here should have said amen. If my mom could speak, she would, for us to hear, she would say, amen, Dale. We really struggle with following instructions. Some people even struggle with listening to instructions. When our children were younger, one in particular that I won't call Marcus's name. Oh, no, man, slipped out. One in particular had a real problem listening to instructions. And so he didn't follow instructions sometimes. Now, believe me when I tell you, and I'm not trying to sound all... Sharon says sometimes, I think people think you beat our kids. Well, I did sometimes, but they live. I'm just carrying on, folks. Listen, that didn't last long because I didn't put up with it. If your children do not follow instructions, if they do not listen to instructions, you've got a problem. And you need to correct that problem. And I would make my children, in particular Marcus, I would say, come here, son. Look me in the eye. And I would tell him what I wanted him to do. And he would turn to run away. And I'd say, whoa, come back. What did I just tell you? And sometimes he could tell me. You know why? He wasn't paying attention. He had other things on his mind. So I had to teach him. You listen to what I tell you. So you can do what I ask you to do. You don't get the instruction, you're not going to properly follow the instruction. Amen? By the way, it's good to teach your children that, but it's good to self-discipline yourself to that. Notice what he said here in verse number 2, to know wisdom and instruction. That's self-discipline. How are you going to know it? How are you going to be instructed? You've got to listen to the voice of wisdom. Who's the voice of wisdom? The voice of God. Listen to what he says so you can do what he says. You can't do what you don't know. Obedience is not by accident. It's intentional. Amen? And so number one, it's self-discipline. Number two, look at what he said in verse number 2. To perceive the words of understanding. Why am I to know wisdom? Why do I need wisdom? So I can perceive. So I can see things that bring understanding. I can see things the way God sees it, and that way God can help me understand it. So wisdom is important to understanding. It's important to self-discipline. Do you see what is being taught here? I hope that you do. Wisdom is important. It's not just a word we throw around and say, well, you know, God give me wisdom. Well, he will if we'll use it, right? God gives us wisdom to use, and we'll get to that in just a moment. Number 3, look at it if you would, in verse number 3. To receive the instruction of wisdom. To receive, that means to welcome. Yes. To welcome it. So if you're going to receive it, if you're going to welcome it, then you need to surround yourself with people that are wise to receive it, right? And so wisdom comes from wise relationships. You know what the Bible says that a wise man does? He walks with wise men. And a man that walks with wise men is wise, and a man that walks with fools is foolish. And so the scripture says here, you receive, in verse number 3, you receive that instruction of wisdom. You welcome it. You desire it. Then he said, not only is it self-discipline, it's understanding, it's wise relationship, but look in chapter 1, verse number 4, it talks about discretion. The discretion in planning. To give subtlety to the simple, to the young man, knowledge and discretion. Young men, listen to me. And I'll even say young ladies. You need wisdom. You need wisdom. You say, well, I'm going to go and get every degree that I can get from every learning institution I can. Help yourself. But it's not going to do you any good for God now. I want to make that clear. It's not going to do you any good for God if you don't apply some wisdom to it. You can have all the knowledge you want. You can have all the pieces of paper that you can gather. And I am not opposed to knowledge, learning, education. I'm not opposed to it. But I'm just here to tell you, it's not going to benefit you much for God's kingdom if you don't have some wisdom to apply that knowledge that you've gained. Amen. So the scripture says in verse number 4, it says that we're to have discretion in planning. Look at it again one more time. To give subtlety to the simple, to the young man, knowledge and discretion. And then finally, in learning. Verse number 5, look at it. A wise man will hear and will increase learning. Hey, here's wisdom. Hear. Listen. Remember what I was saying about one of my children? He wasn't hearing, and so he wasn't able to follow the way I wanted it done. Listen, it's not okay just to do some of what God says to do. We seem to have become comfortable with that, that it's okay to just do some of what God says to do. Well, at least I'm not like so-and-so. Well, God's not interested in who you're not like. God's interested in who you are and what he's commanded you to do. Amen. And so wisdom, here's some things about wisdom. See, I'm not gonna be able to do this without the wisdom of God. And I hope that you understand that. I hope you see that. So now, wisdom. I want you to think about who's given this. It's an earthly father. We're approaching Father's Day. Fathers, you ought to teach your children wisdom. Here's a man who his father taught him wisdom, and he wanted to teach his children, his offspring, wisdom. But there's a greater father who wants us to have wisdom. God wants me to have wisdom. God wants you as his child. God wants us to have wisdom. We're not going to be able to carry out God's plan. We're not going to be able to do God's will. We're not going to be able to do what God intends for us to do in the way that God intends for us to do it without wisdom. And so he said, you know, you need wisdom. Here's an earthly father. Can I impress upon your heart as a father, if you're here and you're a grandfather, with Father's Day coming up, this is one of the greatest things you can do for your child or children. Teach them wisdom. Teach them wisdom. Teach them to listen to the voice of their teachers, yes. But there's one teacher. If they do not listen to any other teacher, they need to hear the voice of the teacher, who is the Holy Spirit of God. Teach them to be sensitive. And not only teach them by what you say to them, teach them by how you live in that way. Let them know that I'm listening for the voice of God. We're waiting on God's approval. We're seeking God's direction. Let your children know these things. Sit them down and tell them, we're not going to do anything until God gives us the go-ahead. And when God gives us the go-ahead, then we're going to move. Amen. And when I say move, I don't mean pack up and leave. I mean it's move on that situation that you're considering. And so wisdom's important. Here's a father that's teaching his child. He was taught as a child. And he said, you know, my father taught me. And I'm teaching my sons. I'm teaching my children. And I won't, and God, there's a greater father in the picture here, and that's God himself. Now, wisdom is a gift. I want you to listen to this, okay? Wisdom is a gift. As I said, it's not knowledge. Knowledge is needed maybe to pass a test, but wisdom is needed to pass the test of life. You see, I'll never be what God wants me to be without the wisdom of God. Never. And I'll show you here in just a moment, wisdom equates to the person of Jesus Christ for you and I in the New Testament age that are saved. In this age of grace, you can't have wisdom without having Jesus. You say, well, I don't believe that. Well, we'll let the Scripture speak in just a moment. Knowledge is learned, wisdom is given. Knowledge comes from looking around. Wisdom comes from looking up. Knowledge comes from study. Wisdom comes from meditation and communion with God. Have you asked God for wisdom today? The Bible says, if any of you lack wisdom, James 1:5, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally. Did you get that? Who giveth. It's a gift. It's from God. Who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. God's not going to scorn or to chastise us for asking for wisdom. God, we need wisdom. Increase our wisdom. Give us wisdom so that we can apply knowledge and understanding to our lives. If you would, turn just for a moment to Proverbs to chapter number 9. Proverbs chapter 9. Say, preacher, that's a lot about wisdom. How will I know if I've got it or how to get it? Well, here's where it starts. Proverbs 9, look at verse number 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Do you respect God? Do you reverence Him? Now, listen, upon first hearing of that, immediately, everybody says, yeah, sure. Are you following in the Bible as I preach? If you're not, you don't respect God. Don't get mad at me. Just take it straight like I'm giving it. If you don't follow along when someone's teaching the Bible, please don't tell me you respect God. If you don't read your Bible, you don't respect God. If you don't obey your Bible, there's no fear. There's no fear there. Now, we can try to convince ourselves of a lot of things. I mean, we really can. We can try to convince ourselves and make ourselves believe that we're one way. You know, every man, well, he's a hero in his own eyes, basically. I mean, you know, we think more highly of ourselves than we ought, and we think we're spiritual. But, you know, there are acid tests you can take, and they're really, really simple. I mean, they really are. Do you listen when the teacher's teaching the Word of God? Is your ear inclined, which means bent to what's being said, honed in to what's being said because you're hanging on every word? You say, well, sometimes you're boring, preacher. Well, you know what? Me, yeah. But if I'm giving you the Bible should not be boring. You should be hanging on every word. Now, how am I going to get this wisdom? I guarantee you, and I'm not saying no one here tonight is. Now, don't. I'm just saying the devil doesn't want us to have wisdom. So no one say, you know, who's he talking to? It'd be like the disciples at the Last Supper. Is it I? No, I'm not saying it. I'm just saying if we're not careful, the devil will try to distract us from hearing God's word because God's word can bring wisdom. And so he said, the fear of the Lord in verse number 10 of Proverbs 9, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And he said, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. What a statement. The knowledge of the holy is understanding. You say, well, preacher, there's just some things I don't understand. Well, you just get the knowledge of the holy. You get the knowledge of God. You get in God's word, and God will give wisdom. And with wisdom, there will come understanding. The Bible teaches it. And the Bible's always right. Amen? Amen. All right, let's turn to some scripture now, and then we'll come back here and we'll close out in Proverbs chapter number 2. I want you to turn to 1 Corinthians just for a moment. I'm just going to share a couple of scriptures with you before I close out tonight. Now, you say, well, how do I get wisdom? Well, you ask for it. You say, well, there's got to be more than that. Well, let's just see what James said. Are you there? James chapter 1. You know this verse. I just quoted it earlier, but James 1, verse number 5. Let's see if this is speaking to you. James 1, verse number 5. If any of you, I think that would include you. If any of you, you say, well, I'm not a man. Well, it didn't say if any man. If any of you, well, I'm not a preacher. Didn't say if a preacher. Well, I'm young. Didn't say if you're old. If any of you, hey, if you're saved, if you're a Christian, listen, wisdom, godly wisdom only comes to save people. You do know that. We'll see that in Scripture here in just a moment. Godly wisdom can only be attained by the saved. We'll see that here in just a moment. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all, and if you'll notice the word men, and I'm King James all the way, thank God for it, just there to bring clarification. But he said, if any of you, he giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, that it shall be given him. God will answer your prayer. Have you asked for wisdom today? You know, sometimes what happens, it's just, It's strange, isn't it? I mean, we Christians are strange creatures. We know that the Bible says you ought to die daily. I'm going to ride this one for a while because I'm just convinced there's not a lot of people dying these days. And so we know that the Bible says we ought to die daily. That's the only way the Spirit of God's going to have rule and reign in our heart. Did you die today? What time did you die? Was it right when you awakened? Was it on your drive to the job or to your first appointment? Or when did you die today? Did you die? Because if you didn't, well, you were probably in a great battle because the Spirit of God wants to control your life. You're a Christian. You belong to God, and He wants to control you, right? And so there was a great battle, and you probably lost, you know, a lot of them. But you won some, but don't get too happy because some of the battles that I win, I needed to have lost. So you have to die. It's the same with this. Did you ask for wisdom today? You see what I'm saying? Did you ask? I hope that you did. I hope that you understand. God's just not going to say, well, you know, I love old Brother Brian. I'm just going to give him a boatload of wisdom today. That's not the way it works, brethren. Why would James say, if you lack wisdom, ask for it if you don't have to ask for it? I'll use this example again. When you got saved, did you ask to get saved or did you just get saved? People don't just get saved. It's a choice. It's a choice. You have to ask to be saved. Amen.
Amen.
Whosoever shall call, that's asking, upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And so some of these things, just real simple, but it's not going to happen if we don't follow instructions. Are you hearing the instructions? And are you following? You dying daily? Oh, Lester Roloff, I can hear him now. He'd say, I get up out of my bed every morning and roll straight in the grave. He died every day. That's what he said. That's what he said. Not me. That's what he said. He said, I get out of my bed and get in my grave. I don't think there's much question that he had the power of God on his life. Agree with him or not. He had the power of God on his life. You want the power of God on your life? I know that you do. You're going to have to die to self. But it doesn't come by just thinking it or knowing it. You have to do it. That's why James, if you look down at verse number 22, you're here. Look in chapter 1 of James, you're here. But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. You can't just hear it and say, you know what, I know to do this. I've heard that. Preacher, we know this. It's not what you know. It's what you do with what you know. Are you dying daily? Have you asked for God's wisdom today? God wants to give us wisdom. He wants us to receive it. He wants us to apply it. And so I just want to impress on your heart now, ask God for wisdom. You need God's wisdom to make it through this life. Amen. I mean, we do. We need God's wisdom. If I'm going to do God's will, I need God's wisdom. I need God's wisdom. All right. Now, turn, if you would, to 1 Corinthians just for a moment, then we'll get back and just go over just a couple of things in Proverbs before I bring it to a close. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, the scripture says, and this is just one place, there's other places, but the scripture says in verse number 21, 1 Corinthians 1, it says, for after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called both Jews and Greek, watch this now, Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God. So, in this dispensation in which we live, in order to have the wisdom of God, you've got to have Christ. You understand that? Now, when you have Christ, now you're open to the wisdom of God. You're open to God's wisdom. And God said, ask me for it. Ask me for it. Just like ask me for my power. Right? Prove me. See if I want to open the windows of heaven. Ask me for my power. Ask me for the fullness of my spirit. Ask me. Ask, and you shall receive. Ask. You know, I think a lot of times I've done it. I've thought my prayer was unanswered, and really it was unasked. And we think things and we think, well, that's prayer. No, it's not. Just to think that I need wisdom is not asking God for it. Just to know that I need wisdom is not asking God. The Bible says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Is that what the word says, brethren? Please, if you are not, begin to ask God for wisdom. Ask him for wisdom, and he will give to you. He will not upbraid you. God will give it to you. Now, let's go back, and we're going to close here, okay? I want to give you some things you can do in Proverbs chapter 2. I'm going to close there, so if you'll go back there, and we'll close in Proverbs chapter number 2. So, preacher, what can I do? I can ask God, and God will give me wisdom. Well, here's some things that Solomon gets into in chapter 2, and I want you to just follow the line of thinking here, and I hope it'll help you. I really do. If one person, and I mean this when I'm saying it, in particular, I'd love for anyone, and elderly people don't take this wrong, but if a young person got a hold of this tonight, there's no telling what God could do in their life. There's no telling what God could do in their young life. It says, look at chapter 2, and just, I'm going to give you these and I'll be done, but please, please, listen to what he's saying here. My son, if thou wilt receive my words. You see that word receive? It means welcome. It means to open up your heart and welcome it. And he's saying, listen, I want to teach you wisdom. Receive my words. Now, that's a father speaking to a son, but it's also God the Father speaking to you as his child. Receive my word. Welcome it now. Don't bow up against it. Don't despise it. Don't doubt it. Receive it. Be happy. Receive. Look at the next statement he said. And hide my commandments with thee. The word hide there means treasure. It's a word that this man's father used in Psalm 119. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Oh, I need the wisdom of God. And he's saying, listen, he said, you want the wisdom of God? You want the wisdom of God? Then receive the word of God. Hide the word of God in your heart. Meditate on it. Spend time with it. Make it a priority in our lives. Amen. Look at what he said in verse number 2. So that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom. The word incline means bend it. Bend it. It means to lean toward it. Listen carefully. Block everything else out. And listen to what I'm saying to you. That's what he's saying. Incline thine. It's a much stronger word than just hear it. It's incline. Listen, there's nothing more important, he's saying, than what I'm telling you. That there's nothing more important for you to hear than what I'm telling you. Incline thine ear unto wisdom. Notice if you would, and by the way, I thought of this. I had it here. Some of you won't remember this. E.F. Hutton. You remember E.F. Hutton? You know, the old commercial. Some of you are a little older. You know, it was a financial institution, and an investment company, and it said, when E.F. Hutton talks, people listen. And everybody, there was a room full of just people, you know, just networking and talking. And then someone from E.F. Hutton, a representative, spoke up and they all just went silent. And they wanted to hear what he had to say. Can I tell you, when the Spirit of God is speaking, that's inclining thine ear. You want to hear, you need to hear what God is saying. And then finally, I think it's in verse number 2, and this will be our final our final one for tonight, and then we'll close. And apply thine heart to understanding. Don't just hear it. Apply it. Do it. Do it. And so wisdom, it's very important. Wisdom is from God. We saw where Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. And God wants to give you wisdom. You have wisdom. God wants to increase your wisdom so that each of us can make better decisions and have better discretion and have better understanding about what God wants us to do. Amen. Don't raise your hand. Is there someone here tonight that would say, you know, I've got some very, very important decisions to make. It may be about you personally. It may be about a job. It may be about a client. It may be about a family member. It may be a spiritual decision. Can I tell you? Please, please. There's nothing wrong with getting counsel, because in the multitude of counsel, there's safety. But listen, get counsel from God. You bend your ear and you ask God, God, give me wisdom. I want to do what's right in this situation. And on the authority of God's word, I'm here to tell you, God will give you the wisdom to make the right decision. The one that will be good for you and that will bring him glory. I'm going to ask you to stand with him. We're going to have a word of prayer. Now, this is just kind of a little groundwork on the book of Proverbs. Through the book of Proverbs, he builds on this, and he says, you know, I want you to have wisdom. And he begins to talk about relationships. He begins to talk about friends. He begins to talk about strange women. He begins to talk about marriage. He begins to talk about the wife of your youth. He begins to talk about relationships outside the home, with friendship, with sureties of friendship, with work, the sluggard, that one that would not plow because of reason of the cold. I mean, it's just great teaching that wisdom will give. And I hope that you'll come and listen and receive and incline your ear and then apply. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the word of God. And God, help us to incline our ear to your word and to be sensitive to the leading and the voice of your Holy Spirit. Lord, we need you. We need your wisdom, and we're thankful for the wisdom that is from above. And I pray that you would help us, first of all, to realize that we need your wisdom. And then I pray you'd help us, Lord, to seek your wisdom, to welcome and receive your wisdom, and then to incline our ear to it and apply it to our lives. Lord, as you give us wisdom, we will thank you for it, knowing that wisdom is of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You can be seated.